You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Visit bpn.fm to discover more.
Hey, I'm Joe Iconis.
And I'm Jennifer Ashley Tepper.
And this is our podcast where we talk all about my brand new Iconis and Family album.
Today we're going to be talking about the song Archie's All-American as performed by Andrew Barth Feldman.
The song is an unusual one on the album. It's pretty short because most of the songs are quite long, and this one is not. I've really sold it well, eh?
I just turned 17, I'm master of my scene. I'm sort of like the neatest guy in the school. I've traveled up the ranks.
Archie's All-American. I love this song. I love all the songs clearly, but I have so many memories with this song of like when you wrote the demo. I would listen to it all the time on my iPod while I was like walking down the street. It was like 2011.
Yeah, this song is such a strange one for me because the way that it came into being was it was a song for a demo for an Archie tangential project that I think never actually ended up
Archie
happening.
Comics, to be clear, can I say that Archie Comics?
Archie Comics, yeah.
TM.
Archie Comics,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, great.
Archie Comics, they were doing some kind of thing, and this was a demo for an Archie related project, which was not Riverdale.
Right.
Came
It was a stage musical.
Very many years later. And so it was one of those things where I was like, at this time in my life, I was having like, I feel like not a great time. I was feeling very frustrated, you know, career-wise and personally. And I had this song kind of hanging over my head that I had to write. And I liked the Archie comics, and I liked the like optimism of them, and I really liked how they sort of dealt in kind of like very general Americana, you know, like this sort of like there is this kind of like vacant, like dead-eyed optimism in the Archie world, you know, even though there's like weirdness, it just feels so American to me, even if it is like aware of itself. It feels, you know, like the Archie comics are America. And so I knew I needed to write this song for Archie, and I just like had nothing, you know, like I had nothing in me that was feeling particularly inspired to do it. And it was one of those things where like the deadline was looming, and I had a couple friends who were like working for people who were developing this thing, and they were kind of pressuring me. And so it was one of those things where I felt like, oh, if I don't write this song, then I'm not only like taking myself out of the running for some potential job, but I'm going to be letting my friends down, or they're going to be disappointed in me. And so I ended up, you know, writing the song. And I wrote it really, really quickly. And I was like, you know, I'm just going to try to write something that's like a pop song. It's like one of these stupid pop songs that everyone apparently loves. And it's like, I'm going to write something like some theater song that is so general. It could be about anything, because that's something that like at the time, and also at this time, at literally, you know, 2022. And I imagine for the rest of my live long days, I will struggle with writing songs for theatrical projects that feel general. My songs are really specific. They're really tied to what's going on in the context of, you know, however they appear. And so you know, in my time in the theater world, there have been many shows that have sort of been well loved by audiences and critics and all that sort of thing, that have songs that are quite general. And so I always find myself struggling with this thing of like, should I be trying to write more generally? Should I be trying to write more broadly, in the hopes that I will become you know, rich and famous and live forever?
Main Street, here I come.
Main Street, here I come. Yeah. and so which is all just to say, with the Archie song, I was like, I'm gonna write one of those songs. And so I wrote like a chorus and a couple verses, and I didn't even write a bridge, which for me is like, it's so insane.
Rare.
To me, I didn't write a bridge. And like went into the studio and made this song, and you know, I remember like got to the middle section, and it's like, I need something here. And I think so Brent Stranathan is playing the drums on this track, who I've known since he was 7 years old.
And who produced this track.
I think he was just like, oh, give me an instrumental. And I was like, an instrumental? And what? Like, no word where nothing happens? And he was like, yeah, it's just an instrumental. And so there's like an instrumental bridge on the song in a way that I think it's the only, it's probably the only moment of like actual instrumental on this entire 44 song, half-hour album. And I think because of all those things, it's the song, I can almost listen to it as if I had nothing to do with it. You know what I mean? And I like it a lot. And I think that it's really specific about being general, you know, and like even when that, there's a line that says, you know, I don't have a clue of even what my story is about. I mean, that was literally me being like, I don't even know what the story of this thing is going to be. And I'm not thinking it out. It's like, I'm not going to like pitch a story because I'm not going to get this job. And
a lot of subtext in this Archie song.
Truly, yeah.
And there were, we should say, that is about nothing. You wrote two songs for this like tryout for Archie thing.
The
other one is not on this album, but how cool that this is one of my favorite things about the album. We get to hear so many songs that were like demo songs for musicals that maybe happened and you didn't write them, or maybe never happened, or maybe did happen and you wrote them. Like, there's a lot of that, which like I loved about musical theater albums when I was growing up, of like, oh, here's a musical theater writer I love, and like, oh, here's a song of theirs that they, you know, demoed. It's really cool.
Yeah, I'd like to think so. I mean, in any of those songs like that on this album, I think stand alone. Like, they work as their own thing, you know, and I think that my hope is that people will be like, oh, you know, if people happen to know that this started as like a, you know, a demo song for a, you know, an Archie Comics project, cool, but you could still listen to it and be like, oh, this is a song inspired by the Archie Comics, as I have, because that's the other thing, I have written so many songs that are inspired by, you know, pieces of art, and it's so funny, sometimes people like hear songs of mine that are, you know, that's like, you know, I have a song that's on the album called Norman that's inspired by Psycho, and people, you know, will be like, oh my God, they were going to turn Psycho into a musical, and it's like, no, I just was inspired
that
by
was
Psycho,
just inspired
and I,
by,
I just wrote
yeah,
a song,
yeah.
And so I think that, you know, it can hang with those others. But you know, I also really love that, like, I love that on the album its position is right after Ammonia, because I just feel like all the things that the woman is going through, and all like this you know, this sort of resentment and frustration and disappointment that woman is dealing with over the course of, you know, 8-9 minutes in Ammonia, if she knew that like the next song was this one, I think she would turn murderous. You know, it's like it feels like just slap in the face that this bit of like, you know, youthful optimism and his whole like his biggest problem is like he doesn't know what his problem is. Like, it's just about nothing, and he's just so like happy about being like, what do I want to do with my life?
Yeah.
It's so, I think it makes me laugh. I think it's darkly funny and kind of cruel.
Yeah,
the song's position on the album.
And this song is performed on the album by Andrew Barth Feldman. This Day in the Studio was like amazing, because, correct me if I'm wrong, like, Andrew hadn't performed this song live. It was like a magical album exclusive.
Yeah, you know, I decided I wanted to put it on the album real late. And Andrew is someone who I've known also since he was quite young. He is quite young
right
now.
He's still quite young, but we've known him for
so
many
long.
Years.
Yeah. And it's Andrew played Roger in a youth theater production of Rent that my brother, Phil Iconis, the great Phil Iconis, directed in like 2016 or something. And he was like 13 or something.
Yeah.
And so I was always aware of Andrew, you know, from the Long Island theater
scene.
Wish
I saw that production.
He was amazing.
We had a bootleg.
He was amazing.
Are we going to talk about Jonathan Larson in every one of these
Hopefully,
so far?
Hopefully, yeah.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
On brand.
Andrew Rice Feldman.
But Andrew Rice Feldman, yeah, but he was amazing. He was like one of those people who, when I first saw him, I was like, this kid is so, he is so talented that he actually seems, to me, I was like, he seems like older than he is. Mm-hmm. Like he, I could see this kid not getting work as like a young actor because he's so talented that he, yeah, that he seems like he's like 45 years old. Mm-hmm. But I was incorrect about that, that part of Andrew Rice Feldman's journey. But I, you know, so I've known him for so long, and he was like one of, he had a theater company on Long Island himself, and he directed and starred in one of the first licensed productions of Be More Chill, which occurred, because he planned to do it before we were ever off Broadway. Mm-hmm. And so it occurred like during our off Broadway run, he was directing and starring in Be More Chill on Long Island, which is insane. And so this felt like a really fitting first collaboration for us. And yeah, and his he's just one of those human beings where he's so insanely talented that it just it explodes. Mm-hmm. The talent explodes out of him. He's so adept and just so fun. And yeah, and he sounds like a total rock star and is the embodiment of youthful enthusiasm, which feels appropriate.
It's perfect. Perfect.
It's perfect.
And
yeah.
I think he and it was Ian Kagi recorded the original demo, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And I think they're the only two people to sing this. No, we might have done it one other time.
Eric William Morris.
Three rounds.
Yeah, Eric William Morris sung it there.
A regular Archie type. That
yeah. On the nose.
But Ian originating it on the demo is so funny because it's the epitome of the like Joe Iconic School of Performing Arts thing where like on this track, this person's singing. On this track, they're the copyist. You know, like whatever the like prevailing sentiment is about like our Steppenwolfians like hopping in of different people and different jobs.
Yeah, truly.
Ian Kagi can do it all.
And Ian's actually singing backups on this track. Mm-hmm. But there is a version floating around with Ian singing lead vocal and it's really great.
Great.
Yeah, I wish, you know, it's we could definitely do an EP of songs on the album just recorded by other people. Like there, you know, there are like literal recordings that exist with other humans singing these tunes. So yeah, maybe. And if they ever do an Archie musical or something, I'll be so excited to listen to the album that will be written by a famous pop writer.
Yeah. honestly, though, I feel like Andrew can play it for years. So if you get another crack at it, just put like a red wig on him and have him sing this. And some famous pop writer will probably still get the job. But it would be great.
Yeah. We'll try again.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks so much for listening or watching to my podcast. Do me a favor and go to wherever you just listen to or watch this thing and subscribe or like or give us a great rating or review, and then head to bpn.fm/album to find out even more information about this podcast, more ways to watch, more ways to listen, and check out my album, Album. Thanks so much for hanging out.
Album Podcast is executive produced by Liz Armstrong, produced by Dori Berenstein, Alan Seals, Kim Garris, and the rest of the team at the Broadway Podcast Network. Be sure to visit bpn.fm/album for both audio and video versions of this podcast, and to listen to Album.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard. So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.